Hello, Josh. How you doing, Josh? Listening to a share? Hey, can you hear me?
Pearl, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, can you
Okay,
hear me?
yeah, my ear pods are not working 100%, but they're working now, so hopefully it lasts for this year.
So I wonder if the rabbi is going to talk about this in his shiur tomorrow afternoon about the burial of Yaakov.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast from Rabbi David Katz in Baltimore,
Okay.
and he gave a perspective I never thought of. By Achantu HaRofim Es Yisrael, right?
Right.
They embalmed him. They gave him the full Egyptian treatment.
Right.
They mummified him
That's
with the wrappings and
apparently,
everything.
that's how I understood it, yeah.
So he raises the question, how was he buried in Mars HaMachpelah? Did they take it off or not?
An easy mummified in Mars and Ophelia.
Yeah. Same thing with Yosef.
Right. Interesting question. Certainly don't do that today's day and age. And
And
even
he says, you
if
know,
it,
they found the mummy of Ramses, the one who's believed right to build, at least by many, and
right.
so they actually took an ex a photograph of him through through the band
Mama.
the bandages and all that. So they
Yeah.
got a likeness of what Ramses looked like, right?
Yeah.
So imagine some Jewish Indiana Jones going down and then getting a picture of Yaakov Avinu.
Would be pretty cool.
Who probably didn't disintegrate anyway, like
Right. Yaakov
he could be
Avinu
even
Lomé.
better than these guys.
Yaakov Avinu Lomé. We'll see what that really means.
Wow.
Interesting. That's too bad, Avi. Trying, shutting down. Apparently. The rabbi has a wedding next week, so he asked me to fill in.
Oh, next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Advance warning, if you don't feel like attending, I will not be insulted.
No, I look forward. I can always pick up stuff from my classes because I teach Shmos at Stern.
Really? You're teaching Shmos? Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, well, I'll have to wait until next fall though in order to use anything on next week's Parsha.
Right, I hear
I'm
you.
in the middle of Vayera now to begin the next semester.
Okay. Have a hard time going through these Rashi's on the brachos. It doesn't
Oh
really resonate.
yeah, they're a handful.
When I was going over the parasha, I made a note about something that Rabbi Prail mentioned years ago. And that is the question whether is the Vav HaHipoch also a Vav HaChibur? Right? In other words, in Lashon HaKodesh, it says, for example, Pasuk Mem Zayin Pasuk Lamed. Bishochavti. So literally it means and he died. But the Vav switches it to he will die. Right? Now Reprel correctly pointed out that when we were kids in yeshiva, we always translate the Vav as and he died, and he will die. But it's not correct, because the Vav is totally used up as a Vav Hipoch and should not be and. Okay, so now my kasha is the Rashi on Pasuk Lamed, Vishachavti Imamisai. Was that? Right. So that Vav, in when we grew up in yeshiva, that Vav we translate as and when I will die, right? So is that an accurate translation? Or should it be I will die? Now, is it correct to say that the Vav, the way we learned it as kids, right? Am I correct? And we learned as kids, we said Vishachavti and I will die. So Rabbi Perel correctly pointed out that that may not be correct, because why should the Vav be and? The Vav is the tool which makes Shachavti imta eshkav. All right? Now, however, this Rashi says, Vishachavti im avosai, Vav zu mechuber lamalu l'tchilas hamikra. Right? Rashi is bothered by that the pasuk reads very poorly, because it says in pasuk chavtes, "Vayikvu yimei Yisrael amus." Yaakov was getting close to death. Vayikro Yosef, and he called his child Yosef. Vayomer lo, he says to him, "If no matzasi chein beinecha, if you will do me a favor." Simna tachas yirechi, al nosik bury me in Mitzrayim, and don't bury me in Mitzrayim. V'shachavti emavisai, and if I will, and when I will die, take me out of Mitzrayim. It's not in chronological order. It should be. It promised me that when I will die, you will not bury in Mitzrayim. You'll take me out of Mitzrayim. And it reads, promise me you won't be bury in Mitzrayim. And when I will die, you'll carry me out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi points out that Vishachati Masai is out of order. It shouldn't have been a few phrases earlier, right? So Rashi says, well, that's what the Vav is doing over here. The Vav is causing the Vishachati to hopscotch backwards. Right? So, and just pushing back on a comment Rabbi Perel said a few years ago, putting it back on the Al Shulchan Malachim, is a Vav HaHipoch also a Vav HaChibor, or is it only a Vav HaHipoch? That's the integrity of our Yeshiva Ketan education is at stake over here. Okay, let's not get caught.
So maybe the shot is from the very fact that Rashi has to tell you this time it's a Vav HaChibur.
Could be.
Rashi tells you most of the time it's not.
Could be. Okay. I'm just putting it back on the table. It could be right. I'm not sure. When I saw it this year, I said, this reminds me of the discussion we had. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's jump to Yisachar. Mem Tes Yud Gimel. Then if you get bogged down on Diktuk,
we'll lose everybody.
10:29, it's going to be you and me, very pal. Okay, Mem Tes Yud Gimel. 49:13 is the bracha of Yisachar.
Yudalit, brother.
What did I say? Yudalit, okay. I'm such a believer in Zevulun being Mechazeg Yisachar that, okay. So Yisachar, Chamor Garim. Yisachar is a bony donkey, right? That's the pshat. He is a donkey made of big bones. Reivetz Bein HaMishpasayim and he rests between the boundaries, the borders. Vayar menucha ki tov, he saw that rest was good. The esa aretz kina ema, and the land that he got was sweet. Vayet shechmol his bowl, so he pushed out his shoulder to carry the burden. Vila masel beit, and he works, and he's a well-taxed worker. So before we go into the pshat, I thought it was a fascinating comment by the Das Kainim. He quotes a medrash. The Baal Turim quotes the medrash that Chamor Gorem the Das Kainim. It's also in the Baal Turim because some of the Mikros Gedolos have the Das Kainim at the back. So you can find the same in the Baal Turim on the page. The Gemara says, Rashi says Chamor Gorem means a bony donkey, a donkey with a bone. That's Ibn Ezra says, a very thick, a thick bone donkey. But that's the Kedem, says Pshat, says Gemara, says Pshat, Chamor Gorem, the donkey, Yisachar was brought into this world by a Chamor. The Chamor, the donkey, made him happen. How'd that happen? Ki Kishabo Yaakov ben Asoda, you know Yisachar was a child that was born when Reuven got the flowers of Dudaim, and Leah got the Dudaim, right? The Rachel got the Dudaim from Leah, and Leah was able to be with Yaakov, Kisachor Sechartichah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Kishabo Yaakov min Asoda, Vishoma Leah Chamore Noer. How did Leah know that Yaakov was coming back? So, because after a while, he was supposed to go to Rachel's tent, right? So he heard the donkey. What do donkeys do? They bray. Okay. Here the donkey bray. Yotza l'krosay. So then she went out to meet him. And then she said to Yaakov, no, we have a deal. You're supposed to come to me. So Yisachar came into this world because Yaakov's donkey was braying. Right. And the Baal Turim says the same medrash. Shomale kol tzakosay. Now let's look at the Arachayim. Okay, the Arachayim.
Actually, the next Baal Turim on Chamor Gorem goes a step further.
Right. We'll come back in a minute.
All right.
Okay, correct, yeah. Nem Tess Yudalid, or the Arachayim. Yisachar Chamor. Oimer Chamor Gorem. Chazal say the donkey brought him into this world. Peirush Yitzias Ima Yedei Shenor Chamor. That Leah went out to meet Yaakov because he heard Yaakov's donkey braying. Zeho Yosiva She Yisachar Reimetz Menebesh Rosayim. That's actually what caused Yisachar to become the one who would rest on, would always be on the edge. Einay meyushav tom koimai. That's what made him into a traveler, a wanderer, right? Because he came into this world because of the traveling donkey. Maybe he came into this world because Yaakov had to then move from one tent to the other tent. V'hu tam shebenei Torah shem anfe Yisachar. But Yisachar is... Have to get Michael. You have to get your Yisachar on the. There aren't too many Yisachars around. If they're on the, but let's see how the few should work out first. Okay. So far
we favorite parshas.
Was that okay? So far it may not be like the family version for the for Yisachar. How old Yisachar? So same Anfe Yisachar. So Tamei Chachamim are the children of Yisachar, right? Rashi says Yisachar are the Seifrim, and then the members of the Beis Din. So, Yisaybu me'ir le'ir, that is why B'nai Torah will go from city to city. It happens all the time. B'nai Torah leave home to go to yeshivas. B'nai Torah often go from city to city to raise money for yeshivas, right? The Ruchan and Rasman came to America to raise money. Shemeshkop came to America to raise money. So raising money. The Kayanim with the Tanachom, they would go from place to place. So the Amasa built the Yoilin Anofa, because when there's something that's not so good at the core, ultimately it's going to have an impact. Right? Because Leah did, we're not criticizing the, I saw a beautiful Lashon from Chaim Shmulevitz when he discusses last week's parish about, we discussed last week, about Yaakov complaining. So he said, Chazal criticized Yaakov for complaining. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, we do not understand what Yaakov was saying, why Chazal criticized him. But there's a Musa that Chazal is teaching us from here. The same thing over here. He's very careful. He says, we're not criticizing Leah. We're not here to judge Leah. But Lamaris Ayin, but from the bird's eye view, chutz miderech ha-Musa, it wasn't the most elegant thing to do to purchase a night with a husband to start off with, to start trading around the intimacy. And then once she traded intimacy, then to wait till Yaakov comes and says and fetch him and say, we got a deal. You're coming to me tonight. So I should have said it a nicer way. But it's chutz miderech ha-Musa. It's not the most elegant way. So gamma yotzi mimenu yimsenu kederech hazeh. So then it's going to have an impact. It's not going to be, it'll have an impact. So he says that's pshat and roivets yisachar chamor gorem. Chazal is saying it was the story that the donkey caused yisachar to come into the world. He gave him to the world. That's an elegant way of saying something not so smart, not so doesn't smell so good. Chamor gorem, this whole story about shifting nights, right? And as a result, even though he'll have great talmidei chachamim, roivets beina mishpasayim, they're always going to be on the move. They're always not going to have, the coin will always be going around from place to place. The seifrim will always be going around from place to place. Living on the edge. The afal pikein, chafetzim ba'mola shel Torah benoyim. He says, I think he's saying, right? And we'll see it on one level. Vayar ha'menucho ki tov. It would be nice to be able to be in one place. It would be nice to be able to learn it in his own hometown. It would be nice to be on, but nevertheless, he said, in order to become proficient in learning, this is what I got to do. So in other words, Reb Chaim says that this whole story began a challenge for his children to focus and to struggle in their learning, despite the instability which the learning brought with it. All right, so that's one mahalach over here. It answers a very difficult question because it says vayar hamenucha ki tov. He saw that to rest was good, and then he decided to work very, very hard. He put out his shoulder to carry the burden. Well, which way is it? Does he have a tough life or an easy life? Right? So Yar Menucho Kitov, he saw that resting was good, so then he should be able to rest. So, and if it's retirement, it should be the other way around. And then Yar Menucho Kitov. But it sounds like midlife retirement and then back to work doesn't. So the Archaim's pshat is, but he didn't have menucha. It was Bikei Shakel Shavuz B'Shalva. And nevertheless, he knew that the life ahead was not going to be easy street. All right, so that's one mahalach. Now, let's go back to the end of the Baal HaTurim that Raphael pointed out. And then we'll go back to the end of the Archaim. And then we'll do the Kli Yachas, very interesting. Yeah. Okay, so the Baal HaTurim says, Bein HaMishpasayim only appears twice in Tanakh. I'm sorry? Iloma Yeshabta Bein HaMishpasayim, yeah. Famous line? Oh, with a song? Yeah.
She was okay. The
Torah. What is that? David Sachs, you got voted in?
What?
He got voted in. David's the newest member of the board. So David Sachs is part of there's a London boys choir. Okay. So what's been Kimoy Shachamor no say Kola Masui The donkey owns, he takes the whole load. He doesn't share the load. You don't have, he doesn't share the load with another donkey. So just like the donkey carries the whole load, so they, his children carried the responsibilities of Torah. And the majority of Sanhedrin came from Yisachar. They were big teachers. He says, why do you live on the edge? Because they were in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the office, right in the room, right off the Beis HaMikdash. And half of the Lishkas HaGozes was in, had the Kiddush of Arabayis, and had half didn't have. Sheinachlosoi al Svas Hayom, Ben Yom Liyabosha, and also they were always on the edge because they were not fully inland and not the coastal city. So the so again, the Ben Amish Pesoyim has different levels of meaning. Could mean that they were always on the edge, they were always unsettled, they didn't have the tranquility, or they were the Talmid Chachamim who were half Bekdusha and half Bechol. In other words, they were not the ivory tower Talmid Chachamim, they were the Talmid Chachamim who were, would go from place to place and would teach Marbitz and Torah. Now let's go to this next half of the Aruch
Haim. Rabbi, is about Purim saying that Lama Yashavta Beina Mish Besayim is talking about Yisachar, Shevet Yisachar?
I don't know.
Because I looked it up, that doesn't seem to be the Pshat in the Pasuk.
No, the Devar seems to be saying to those that held back and didn't come full force and fight.
Right, and Yisachar is one of those who did come.
Yeah. So I don't think he's saying that it's referring to Yisachar. Mm-hmm. I think he's saying the idea of living, of having 2 feet planted on different sides.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Of, I think that's what he's saying. So now, Arachayim, Vayar Menucha Kitov, Perish Menucha El Yoina. All right. There's 2 pshatim over here. Kitov, right? That's what it says in Brachos. Vayar is or Kitov. So Kitov means he saw the. I assume it means something along the lines of the rest in the Olam Ha'emes. Perish ba'bidu b'zboinin ha'odu b'chol ha'nois ha'olam hazeh ha'nir goshois. When a person examines all of the pleasures of this world, tavas ha'machol v'amishta. She says that the pleasures in this world are not in and of themselves essentially good. They just satisfy our tastes and satisfy our curiosities and our interests in doing something. She can it be a boy a yoitzer. Kadosh Baruch Hu made us in such a way that we have senses and we have tastes and the things that we like. So because we like certain things, so therefore they become desirous. And the raya is that when we're hungry, so then a lot of things taste good. And when we're full, fewer things taste good. So you see that it's not essentially something which is good. Next paragraph. Similarly, something looks very, very pleasurable to us. He says that sometimes he seems very pretty, very attractive. You look very carefully. It's all outward. It's nothing essentially that's good in and of itself. I'm skipping a few lines. because we get the picture. But the what's essentially good and essentially sweet, that's going to be in a different world. He saw that the real goodness was the Olam HaEmes, and therefore he said that he would now stick it out and work very hard in this world. The next paragraph, he was willing to dedicate himself to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bidding, the Avodas HaKodesh. Okay, now let's look at the Kli Yoker. Which one? Yeah, let's look at the second one. V'yam nuchok yitov. Ki ein kinyan atara toli b'tznu'a k'moy kinyas mamoin. Ki al aroi b'merchok yovi lachmoy. Aval kinyan atara toli ba'amal ha'nefesh umnuchas ha'guf. All right, a little bit different picture than the Arachai. He says that that for a person to prosper, sometimes it means you have to hustle. And sometimes you have to travel all over the place. And that's the way a person puts together a parnasa. But he says that often brings great success. You know, buying in one place, selling another place, hustling, moving. He says, Torah, when it's successful in Torah, b'mala nefesh umnuchas aguf. That's when the spirit is working hard, but physically one is in a place, in a peaceful place. He said, that's why Torah was given on Shabbos, because Shabbos Yom Menucha, because Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that when a person has a measure of Yishuv Adas, he has greater equanimity. Ki Eretz Yisrael Avira Demachim, and it says Eretz Kina Ema, he means Eretz Yisrael is able to give people greater insight and wisdom. He says, even though we would say that achieving Torah is of greater value than achieving Schora, he puts Zvulun first because he says, because without the Zvulun, they cannot be learning, because without Zvulun, there can't be that health, that equanimity, that peacefulness, the Yishuv Hadas. So the Zvulun is L'chayv Yamim. They may have to travel all over the place in order that Yisachar should be Yishuv Olam. Then Gam Yisachar, and I say Michalka, and then Yisachar has to pay, what's the mas, what's the tax? Oyveid, that's the tax he's paying to the Zvulun who's taking care of him. So the point that the Kli Yoker sees over here is, so everybody sees in Yisachar as the shevet of learners. So there are various different ideas which come up from the shevet of learners. One is that that the shevet of learners began in a not in the most elegant situation, and that's why the shevet of learners have to move from place to place. I think that's the Arachaim's. And Vayar Menucha Kitov means the Menucha of the Elam HaEmes, and he's willing to do what it takes to get there. The Kli Yoker seems to be contrary to that. He says that the Yisachar is Vayar Menucha Kitov means he realizes in order to be successful in his learning, he needs to have Yishuv Hadas. Vayar Menucha Kitov. The learning is only going to happen if he's able to focus and concentrate. And in that context, he's able to do all the work. But he has to pay taxes to Yisvulun, because Yisvulun is the one who's hustling backwards and forwards in order to give Yisachar the peace of mind that he requires. Okay.
It's interesting that Ibn Ezra has a whole different pshat.
Yeah. on Ve'ar Menucha Kitov.
Yeah.
But they were that they were means they didn't want they were a weaker brand.
Yeah.
They would buy their way out of not having to go to the army.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So how you give bar with Yesus says Muhammad? The beginning of the what's it called?
Deferment.
The tour of
Yeshiva deferment, huh?
Deferment, there, deferment is the word. Right. Well, it's Ebenezer does not spell out that they were learning, correct? Then he doesn't spell it out. Okay, let's have a look. And Perek Mem Ches, I'll go back. Perek Mem Ches. Perek Mem Ches, let me post it above. Is it possible? No. Yosef. Oh, no, this would be the very interesting Kli Yakar. Let's look at the Pasuk Yud Dalet, Mem Ches Yud Dalet. See, Kalis Yodov. Right, so that's the... The Kli Yakar points out that if you look at the Psukim, so the Psukim have in Pasuk Yud Beis, Yosef brings Menashe and Ephraim to Yaakov. Pasuk Yud Gimel, he puts Ephraim on the right and Menashe on the left, because that's going to be make Menashe on the right of Yaakov and Ephraim on the left of Yaakov. All right? And then and Pasuk Yud Dalet, that's where Yaakov switches the hands, where he crosses the hands. All right? Pasuk Tesvav, he gives the bracha. Pasuk Yud Zayin, that's when Yosef says, what's going on over here? All right? Why did you switch your hands? He says, he's late. Why did he wait till after the bracha? And then Vayismach, then in Pasuk Yitzayin, he tries to switch the hands. And in Ches, he says, you got it mixed up. So, Kli Yakar has a number of questions over here. So let's look at the Kli Yakar back in Pasuk Yud Dalet. Pasuk Yud Dalet, 14. Yesh Makshim. Lama Shosak Yosef Ad Acher Shebi Rechosam. Question number one. Why did he wait so long? Why didn't he hop right away? The Acher Kach, and afterward, by Yismoch, yet why did he move the hands? He should have done that before the bracha. Ulai the Fishi could be that he thought Shechoshev Shasmol Choshev Mina Yamin Fish Alev Makora Sechel Munach Biyad Smol. In the Kli Yakar, he says it could be that maybe he thought that the left is the close to the heart, And he thought the heart was the more cerebral. The heart was the seat of chachma, wisdom. So maybe he was going to give, the left was the more important bracha. So he's going to give seichel to Menashe, and he'd give the Ephraim would get the right, which is near the liver. Apparently the liver associated with the taiva. So he thought maybe that was the better bracha. So maybe he was going to give a bracha of ruchnius to Menashe and a bracha of gashmius to Ephraim. Okay, he could live with that because Menashe was the older one. The achas should be a bracha achas, but he said yivarech es haneorim. I'm only giving one bracha. So then they go, oh, one bracha, and now that bracha is going to be chal in a stronger way on Ephraim because that was the right. And maybe he made a mistake, and that's why he reacted. Then he says, and then others ask another question. They say, why does Yosef try to move the hands? In other words, it's clear that Yaakov was doing something intentional. So Yosef, the normal reaction would be to ask his father, why did you cross your hands? What did you have in mind? Rather than assume that his father crossed his hands unintentionally, made a mistake. He simply flipped into his, he says, why doesn't he ask his father? Certainly he knew what he was doing. He should ask him, Almaza, what are you doing? So he has to assume that that's what the Chumash is very lengthy over here. That when Yosef thought, it has to be that Yaakov is giving the better bracha to the older one. He must have thought that I'm holding Menashe on my right, and I'm holding Ephraim on my left. So it was like a double think. Yosef is thinking that Yaakov is thinking that Yosef will keep Menashe on Yosef's right because he's the older one. So Yosef is saying, no, I set it up for you the way, and that reads very well in the Psukim, right? Because the Psukim have, you look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayigach Yosef Ishneim, Esefayim Bimino, Mismol Yisrael, Mis Menashe Mismol Yemin Yisrael. So why is the Torah stressing all of these things? Because he's pointing out that was the error that Yosef was setting up Yaakov in a way that he thought was better. And Yaakov says, no, I expected you to set the children up in this way. And each one is like in chess, so two steps ahead of the other one. So that's where Yaakov responds, this is the right thing to do. I thought the kashas are interesting kashas. The questions are interesting questions. Why? Who was Yosef waiting for?
I guess I misunderstood the psukim because the beginning of Tezvav it says Vayivarech es Yosef Vayomer. Right?
Oh, okay, correct.
So and then later on it says. Vayivarchem in Pasuk Chaf. So I thought Pasuk Kesvav until whenever is a bracha to Yosef, and then he doesn't get around to blessing Menashe and Ephraim until Pasuk Chaf. But apparently I was wrong.
So if you look at the many of the Mefarshim ask, I say we don't really see which bracha Yosef got. Tesvav, in other words, you look at all the Mefarshim, the Rashbam says the Vayivarchas Yosef is the bracha that his children get. If you look at the Ramban says, where is the bracha? The Arachayim, where is the bracha over here? So most of the Mefarshim understand, from what I've been able to see, is they think Vayivarchas Yosef is a separate phrase that has to be interpreted. And there are different approaches. Some say that Elokim Eshes Halchu Amosai Lefanai. That is it. That's the bracha for Yosef. But HaMalach HaGomel is already Yivereches HaNe'orim.
Right.
So it's very hard to get around that. That's already the bracha. And it would also, it's hard to, we know that Yaakov is going to give a bracha to Yosef with all the other brothers. So it would be out of place to give him the bracha right now.
Well, maybe Midin the Bukhar, he gets a double bracha.
Gets double bracha. Okay. Okay. I think the Aruch Chaim says this. This Tfas Emes develops this by saying that when Yaakov gave Menashe and Ephraim their brachos and bumped them up to the level of Reuben and Shimon, so Yosef is now bumped up to the level of the Avos. Right? So that's why Yivarach is Yosef. I'm going to give you a big bracha right now because you're going to now get bumped up. So I think it's too late to go to right now, but I think that's the Aruch Chaim points that out in by Yivarach is Yosef. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By Yivarach is Yosef, he goes to Ramban. Goes to Ramban and saying, whatever, when your children get a bracha, that's a bracha for you. So by Yivarach, that's how I was going to shot. By Yivarach is Yosef, the way the Rashbam says, Benezra says, Yosef, what's the bracha you're getting? Your children are going to get a bracha. That's gewaldig. But the Aruch Chaim doesn't like that because he says that doesn't need to be stated in the pasuk. That's a double pasuk. That's a bracha that Yosef is excited about it. So he explains that exactly, that just that Yosef received the ability to give brachos now. And then he writes in the next paragraph that when we say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Elokim Haroya, so that Elokim Haroya is bumping Yosef up. I don't know.
I remember hearing something like that. I forget in one context that there really should be, right? There are four Imo, so it makes sense that there would be four Avos also. So Yosef has this quasi status of.
Right. So Yosef has the. And there. The Aruch Chaim develops this at length. I have to just find it. That's the. That the. When it says, told us. What's the. Ela told us.
Yaakov Yosef.
Right, right. That's an indication that Yosef is got bumped up to.
There, it's in Oregon here. Vikra Abraham Shemi, Perushiyu Bad Bad Bedaragash Shlosha Avot.
Oh, okay, very good. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but who's Shayiyu? Who's they? He's talking about the sons.
Yeah. For him.
You give him Shmi. So Simon says a beautiful mahalach over many, many years. He explains. Vayivarech es Yosef, the essential notion of a bracha is hosafa. The essential bracha is that you connect it to something, your source, and it flourishes and it grows. He says all of this represents that Menashe and Ephraim connected to Yosef, and even more, they're connected to Yaakov, and they flourish. So Vayivarech es Yosef, it means that's the essential bracha is Yosef. To be moisif, not something new, but to be able to be connected to the spark. But that's the kasha. So let's just summarize. So we did what Yisachar and Benamish Messiah and the Gemara that says Yisachar came from a background that wasn't Lamaris. It wasn't the side, and that, and according to Aruch Chaim, that did have an impact on the children. And then the the different pictures that the Archaim and the Kliyaka give, whether Talmid Chachamim are always going to be on the go, that's, and where their challenge is, despite being on the go, they're going to be able to learn. Somebody just sent me today that Rav Chaim Oizer Radzinski, I knew he had a cousin that was in Omaha, Nebraska, and he was one of the Gedolim at that time. He wrote a sefer on Kriyas HaTorah. It's very, very much, it's one of the, it's a very important sefer, because there aren't many svarim on Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Grudzinski in Omaha, Nebraska. He had many, many some that are not yet published. It is Brian Gopin sent it to me this morning. So it explained that they left before the First World War, maybe right after, and they came to America. I forget, and Omaha with them was a decent city for Jews, but ultimately he became this Rav in Omaha. He was very, very active Rav. He was a very good Rav, historically very good, and in Kashrus, and he was very good. But he said, when things were quiet, I wasn't in New York. I was not in the middle of New Jersey. I wasn't in Chicago. I was in Omaha. I was able to learn. So he became a great, great Talmud Chacham. In Omaha. So that's the Mayar Menucha Kitov, that the Yisachar says, despite being on the move, become a Talmud Chacham. And the Kliyaka says, no, Mayar, and the Archaim is the Menucha Zel Me'emes. And the Kliyaka says, no, the Menucha, in order to thrive, one has to have the equanimity, one has to have Yishuv Hadas. And then we learn the Kliyaka on the switching of the hands. It certainly raises questions in the psukim, and then by Yevarach as Yosef, what was the bracha that Yosef received? Was it the bracha of the children, or the ability to give brachos, or being bumped up to being like one of the others? Okay, as a chazak, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Ah.
Okay, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Hey, Shabbos, thank you.
Good Shabbos, good to see you.
Quick, Rabbi, what was you were saying? So he was able to learn and he had to pay the tax. Well, what tax? To who?
No, it's Zvulun, because Zvulun were the workers.
Right.
So he had to pay, he had to give some of his schar, some of the reward he got for learning, he had to give. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I wasn't clear. You're right. And he gives some of the, he owed some of the reward. Yeah. Okay, good Shabbos.